For those who don't know me, I'm Jono. I'm one of the team of elders here in Montague. And it's a real privilege for me to share my heart with you this morning. And hopefully, through sharing God's word, we're just going to get into a deeper revelation of Him. His love, His desires, what He wants for us. May He draw us to surrender everything to Him. May He draw us to give up everything to Him and rest in Him. My heart is that I want to be Him, His, and His alone. That nothing else would be in my life. And we sang the song about the unverdeelde hart. And that's God's cry to His church today, that we would not have a divided heart. I had a bit of scripture that I've had going on in my life for the last probably 3 months, and it scrubbed me, it rubbed me, it scoured me, it broke me. And when you have a verse like that, that really deals with you inside, at times it just becomes unbearable. So what I did was I pushed this word away, and I entered into what I would best describe as a vacuum. It was silence, nothing. And it was terrifying because, you know, where you just are not hearing the Lord and you're not experiencing His presence and you're not experiencing life in Him. And it was unbearable. It was beyond what I felt I could cope with. And then last week, He spoke to me again. And I took back the scripture that I had pushed away. And that's the scripture I'm going to share with you today. I'll bare my heart to you. And if it speaks to you, then I've done what He's asked me to do. Anyway, we're going to read a story. We're going to read a well-known story. And hopefully I won't cry too much. if you could put the first verse up. It's all about the story of Samuel, the prophet Samuel, and King Saul. And we're going to go through sort of quite a good chunk of scripture, but we'll talk through little bits as we go along, just so that you've got a bit of focus, okay? And yeah. So one day Samuel said to Saul, "It was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of His people, Israel. Now listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies has declared. I've decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalek nation. Men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys." That's quite rough, eh? But first of all, what Samuel reminded Saul of was that God had anointed him. God had called him. He was chosen by God, and he was chosen to do what God wanted him to do. And the instruction in this particular case was to totally go and destroy the Amalekite people. And why? Well, when the Israelites left Egypt and they were traveling through all the lands that they went through, the one particular land they went through, the Amalekites were there. And they attacked them. They treated them terribly. There was a massive battle. So if you want to read more about that, that's in Exodus 17. So you can go read through the story. But that particular story has got quite a lot of sort of significance to me, because in this battle with the Amalekites, there was a situation where now Joshua was leading the army and he was going ahead with the Israel army to go and fight the Amalekites. And Moses, now a little bit older, he was not managing too well. And what he did was he took his staff. He had a staff, the staff that probably that divided the sea. And he held it above his head, both arms, held it above his head. And while he held it above his head, they won the battle. And then his arms got tired and they started drooping and sagging down. And the Amalekites started winning. And this was like, this battle went on for ages, absolute ages. And this guy was desperately trying to hold this staff above his head because he wanted his people to win. And eventually Aaron and I think it's Shur, I can't remember the name, the guy's name. I'll look it up here. Yeah, Aaron and Hur came and held his hands up. They supported his arms so that he could keep his arms up. And what happened then was eventually the Israelites defeated the Amalekites. And it was quite interesting. In Exodus 17, it says, I haven't got it on the overhead, it says, they have raised their fist against the Lord's throne. So now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation. So here was a situation where God saw how this nation treated his people. And he said, I will get my vengeance against them. So here's another situation where we've got now King Saul. And King Saul was going to use, God is going to use King Saul to bring about his vengeance against the Amalek people. And this particular story has got quite a bit of significance to me. We used to live in KZN years ago. It feels like forever. And there was a season in our lives where we had two burglaries. And these burglaries happened at nighttime. We were in the house. We were asleep. The one, we woke up in the morning and a whole lot of our stuff was gone. They got into the house. We didn't hear them. Things were stolen. The second time they came, I woke up, I heard a noise, I went out and I met the burglar in the passage. There are more details, I won't go into those details that happened that particular time. But the result of that was I was traumatized. We had an old house, one of those real old Victorian-y type houses, and old houses creak. A little bit of wind and it creaks. Change in temperature, it creaks. And I'd wake up in the middle of the night hearing this creak. And the devil would say to me, yeah, you care for your family. You're too scared to even get out of bed. Eventually, I was a wreck. I was a total, total wreck. I wasn't sleeping properly. I'd then get up because now I'm being chided to go and find out, care for my family, look after my family. I'd go, of course, walk around the house. There would be nothing. And this was night after night after night. And eventually I said to the Lord, Lord, I can't take this anymore. I can't. You've got to help me. And the Lord gave me this scripture of Moses holding up the staff. And he said to me, you praise me. You lift up your hands in praise and you will win the battle. So I'd wake up in the middle of the night, my heart is beating like mad. I've heard the creak and I would praise the Lord. I didn't do it loud because otherwise I'd wake my wife up. But and I don't sing very well. But so I'd praise the Lord and my heart would calm and it would settle down. And eventually I was not waking up anymore and I won the battle. Because Moses held his hand up and the Lord undertook because I praised him. If we could go to verse 4. So Saul mobilized his army at Telaim. There were 200,000 soldiers from Israel and 10,000 men from Judah. So quite a lot of people. Then Saul and his army went down to a town of the Amalekites and laid in wait in the valley. Saul sent his warning to the Kenites. I'll tell you about the Kenites in a moment. Move away from where the Amalekites live, or they will die with them. For you showed kindness to all the people
of Israel when they came up from Egypt. So the Kenites packed up and left. Then Saul slaughtered the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, east of Egypt. So big army. There were the Kenites. Now where the Amalekites attacked Israel, the Kenites were kind. They said, "No, man, you can pass through our land. We don't mind. Just pass through." And they did. So the Lord remembered the kindness of the Kenites. And interesting, they say, tradition says that Moses' father-in-law was a Kenite. So a little extra bit of info. So, and that area, if you go and look at the map from Havilah to Shur, it's a massive area. If you know where Saudi Arabia is, it's sort of almost from the one side of where Egypt meets it, right across to where current day Israel is. Massive area where they pursued these Amalekites and went and killed them. Verse 8. So he captured Agag, the Amalekite king, but completely destroyed everyone else. Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep and goats and cattle, the fat calves, the lambs, everything, in fact, that appealed to them. They destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality. Yeah, that's quite an interesting little bit of scripture, because we see here Agag was captured, destroyed everyone else, but then they went and kept the things they liked, things that they thought, oh no, that'll be cool to keep. I'll keep that. That'll be great. The rest destroyed. If we can go on to verse 10. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "I'm sorry I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command." Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this, and he cried to the Lord all night. So here you've got a situation where you don't often hear God expressing regret. But here was a point where God said to him, "I regret anointing Saul as king." And Samuel's heart as a prophet whose heart was hard after God, it broke his heart, because now his Lord, his God, was disappointed. His God's heart was, why did I do this? Why did I appoint this man as king? So he was devastated. He really was devastated. And it was partly disappointment, and partly he knew God was upset. Verse 12, thank you. So early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Someone told him Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument for himself. And then he went to Gilgal. When Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. "May the Lord bless you," he said. "I have carried out all the Lord's command." Samuel said, "Well, then what is all the bleating of sheep and goats and the lowing of cattle I hear?" Samuel demanded. "It's true that the army spared the best of the sheep, goats and cattle," Saul admitted. "But they're going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. We have destroyed everything else." So Samuel wanted to see for himself what, because he had just heard from the Lord that the Lord was disappointed. So he went to go and find Samuel. And in the process of looking, he hears that this guy, in his arrogance, went and put up a monument for himself. I mean, can you imagine that? You know, go and put up this monument in your honor. Anyway, finally he finds Saul, and Saul is chuffed. He's happy with himself. He, in his heart, in his mind, he's done everything he should be doing. And he even had the cheek to say, "I've carried out all the Lord's commands." He's so full of himself, self-importance, full of pride. He couldn't see that he had done anything wrong. What broke me was I saw so much of me in this verse. You know, when we compromise, if we have a divided heart, we start not seeing. We don't even see where we're missing it. Compromise makes us dull. It makes us unable to see the sharpness and the truth of God, what He is saying. Samuel demands answers. He says, what is this noise I hear? I hear the sheep, I hear the cows, I hear the animals. And you say that you fulfilled everything God said. I don't want to lose my sharpness. I don't want to lose my sight. I don't want to become dull. Anyway, Saul agrees and he says, yeah, no, they kept some of the stuff. But I mean, we're going to sacrifice it to God anyway. So what's the matter? You know, what's your issue? And I realized for me, I try and hide faults and compromise and where I'm not exact right with what God requires from me. And I compromise with being slightly religious. You know, we look more holy and we look more Christian and we look nice, you know. And a lot of it is to hide what's really in our hearts. And I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, they're going to sacrifice it to the Lord. That just makes everything right. So, verse 16. Then Samuel said to Saul, stop. Listen to what the Lord told me last night. So what did he tell you? Saul asked. And Samuel told him, although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush in on the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? And that word rush in, the actual Hebrew word, gives the impression of like swooping in, you know, like vultures coming in to grab. So it wasn't like they were sort of just, you know, doing their normal thing. So here again, you see total arrogance. When I read this, I just shook my head. I thought, what's going to wake this guy up? But yet, I see myself. Again, if I'm not obedient, if I'm rebellious, I become dull. I become blind. And so you don't even realize it. This guy couldn't see it. He couldn't see his fault. He honestly thought that he had done everything God had told him. Saul had a mission. He didn't know what he was. He didn't do what he was sent to do. Instead, he saw it as like, oh, we'll go and collect some cattle and we'll go and get some nice things from these people. Just wipe them out. I've got enough army. We'll just sort them out. Verse 20. So Saul says, but I did obey the Lord, Saul insisted. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, goats, cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Israel. I don't know about you, but I might not voice it, but inside, I try and justify myself time and time and time again. We often have our foot in our own mouths. We don't realize how blind we have become. So Saul insists, I did everything I was supposed to do. Now, we could read and think, well, what's wrong with this guy? Surely, you can see he didn't do the whole thing. When we are not in right standing with God, if we have that divided heart, our sight starts going. And we don't have a sharpness that we need. We are not ready. We're hearing Annie's verse about the 10 virgins having oil. We lose our oil. We lose that which fills us up and gives us life. Verse 22. But Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?" Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than the offering, than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as bad as worshipping idols. So because you have rejected the command from the Lord, he has rejected you as king. We tend to always, and I'm going back to it, justify compromise. We justify our lack of obedience, our lack of submission. We justify it with lip service, but our hearts are far from God. We justify ourselves with so-called sacrifices. We live a good life. We're nice. We're pleasant. If I can take from myself, I'll serve. I will give. I'll care, I'll pray, I'll study my Bible. It's all just a nice cover, nice wrapping. But he sees my heart. He sees the motive in my heart. Yet by compromising, I blind myself. And eventually I stop seeing. I don't see my fault. I don't see where I've gone wrong in disobedience. Verse 24. Finally, then Saul admitted to Samuel, "Yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed the instructions and the Lord's command, for I was afraid of the people and what they demanded." When faced with severe consequences, where God says, "I've had it, no more," Saul finally, the scales fell off his eyes, and he said, "I've sinned. I did not do what God told me to do." The penny dropped. He admitted he was afraid of the people and what they demanded. And I have to admit, it's been a weakness in my life. I can be afraid of people. I can be wanting to please people. I can want to follow people and make them happy. Yet my focus is not on God. I would rather, in a sense, compromise truth with God and make people happy. Who do we put before him? What do we put before him? Because those are the things that make us compromise. Those are the things that make us blind, that we can't even see what God is saying to us. There are many things, good things, nice things, and we put them between us and God, and that brings about blindness and darkness in us. The Galatians scripture, please. It says, "If pleasing people is my goal, I am not Christ's servant." How's that for being straight? Okay. That cut me. Do you try to please people? I'm guilty. I'm one of them. My knee-jerk reaction is to go back to more sacrifices, doing more. I could do this better. I could love more. I could give more. More of my time, maybe more of my resources, or even give up things. I could stop this or stop that. But what does he require from you and from me? He requires us to listen to him, to submit to him, and then to obey him. We need a heart to do his will, a heart that will listen to him. But I can say that as this word tore me apart, I cried to him, and he strengthened me. And I advise you to do what I did. Call to him. If you know that you have a divided heart, you know you've got a compromised heart, you know you've put other things before him, cry to him, and he will strengthen you. He'll wake you up. And we need to wake up. The Hebrew scripture, please. It's a very interesting verse in Hebrews. And, of course, as we read it, you will be reminded of what we've read in 1 Samuel 15. Jesus came to do his will. And it says here, this is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You do not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, 'Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures.'" So even Jesus repeated that. His God's pleasure is not in those burnt sacrifices. His pleasure is doing his will. We need help. We need the Lord to help us. In closing, I've got one verse that's not on the overhead, but just to, as a verse you know. It's in Galatians 5, verse 16. And it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So if the Lord's spoken to you this morning, and you know there's something divided in you, don't delay. Don't put it off. Don't let another day go by. But allow the Lord to help you stand and strengthen you, that you will not compromise. Stand and strengthen you so that you can get right perspective.